Praise the Lord. As we govern ourselves, we're going to turn to page 4, where we have our scripture reading from John 21, chapter 21, verses 15 to 23. Those that are able to stand, you may stand at this time. You may read along. In unison. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Verily, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said to this, indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following him. He was the one who had reclined next to Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus said to him, "If it's my will that he remain until I come, what is it that to you? Follow me." So the rumor spread in the community that the disciples would not die. Yet Jesus did say to him that he would not die, "But if it's my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Father God, we come with thanksgiving, thanking you, Lord, for another opportunity to stand before your people. Father, let your anointing be upon me, the anointing that makes preaching easy. Help me to let go and let God as I humble my spirit at the foot of the cross. Father, you are a way maker out of no way. Father, touch your servants all those who are present here today and your people. Father, let the word come forth sharper than any two-edged sword. And most of all, we pray for souls that are lost, souls who do not know you in the pardon of their sins, souls who are still wondering what must they do to be saved. Father, touch, Lord Jesus, this very hour. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Jesus said, if you love me, follow me. True love is measured by how we treat each other and how we are willing to sacrifice. God demonstrated his love for the world by giving his only begotten son, Jesus. Jesus suffered, died, and rose again, for those who believe in him will rise to eternal life. Amen. Hallelujah. If you love me, Jesus said, you will follow me. If you love and respect those in authoritative positions, you will listen and follow them just as long as they are upholding moral and ethical standards. If your employer tells you one thing and you do your own thing, your loyalty is questioned. When you work for Jesus, you will try your best to please him. And whatever you do, you're going to do it in decency and in order. God does not want your half-stepping. Too many of us half-step on our jobs. God doesn't want half-stepping. Once he calls you, he will equip you by opening doors and taking down avenues you never dreamed of. We don't know what the future holds. But if you truly love Jesus, you're going to follow him. This is what my Lord did for Peter. After he denied Jesus three times, Peter was sorrowful because of his past actions. See, we can be sorrowful for our actions, but if we continue to do it over and over again, you're only playing with God and you fooling yourself. In this chapter, this was Jesus' third appearance to his disciples after his resurrection. Seven of them had met at the Sea of Tiberias, which is the Sea of Galilee, and Peter decided to go fishing and other disciples followed him. Peter said, let's go fishing. That was his job. Have anything else to do, so he just, I got to make a living. Jesus is gone, so I'm going fishing. That night, they caught nothing. At daybreak, Jesus called out to them from the shore and asked them, hey, did you catch any fish? And they said, no. So he told them to cast their nets to the right of the boat. See, the first time this happened, before Jesus had been crucified, the disciples had gone fishing. And when Jesus told them to let down their nets on the other side, they brought in so many fish that the net broke. But this time, it was different. One of the disciples recognized Jesus and told Peter, and that is believed that it was John. I believe Peter was so excited to the point he put his tunic on and jumped in the water to go to see Jesus. The scripture says that he was naked, but it doesn't mean that he was completely naked. He just laid aside some of his garments. They were not far from the shore, and by listening to Jesus, the catch was 153 fish. A fire had been prepared, and Jesus invited them to add some fish to the one already cooking. He said, "Come and have breakfast." You know, that's a wonderful statement where people tell you, "Come on, let's go out for breakfast." You love to go out for breakfast. I went to a place this week and I said, "Wow." He said, "Have you ever been up this place before?" I said, "Not in this neighborhood, but I've been in that area." But it was a really nice place. And Jesus was cooking. He only had one fish. And so he told him, "Bring me some more fish and put it on the fire." Too often we are in a hurry and we need to sit down and dine with Jesus before we start our task. We can dine spiritually or we can dine physically. It's good to dine spiritually. But I know there's a lot of people, they look at people and they said, "You need to eat." And I recall when I went to visit my aunt in Oklahoma, she looked at me. She said, "Girl, sit down and eat." And she cooked a pork chop that was laying over the dish. She said, "You need to put some meat on your bones." I said, "Oh, Aunt Kat, I'm okay." "No, you need to eat." And when Jesus says, "Come and have breakfast," we need to stop and have precious time with the Lord. After they had cooked and ate breakfast, Jesus interviewed Peter. He said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" When Jesus first met Peter in John 1:42, he called him Simon, son of John. Some scriptures might say son of Jonah. "Thou shalt be called Cephas," meaning stone. Cephas is the Aramaic word for rock man. Everybody know how Peter was. But in Greek, it is Petros. When you call someone by their first name, it is usually a sign that that individual is in trouble and they want to capture your attention. Especially when your parents call you by your first name, the whole name. When parents yell out your full name, it's a sign that something is wrong. When you go for an interview or to the doctor, they call your full name because they want to know just who they are talking to. And little do you know, they have your picture. Because sometimes you wonder, well, how did they know to come to me? They have taken your picture, and you don't even know that they've taken your picture. Because they want to know that you are who you say you are. I believe Jesus wanted Peter to hear what he had to say and reminded him of who he was. "Do you love me more than these?" What was Jesus saying? Do you love me more than your profession? The fish, the boat, the equipment, or was Jesus referring to the other disciples present? Do you love me more than these other disciples? Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lamb." Jesus gave us a choice. And it's up to us to decide what we want to do. Forsake all and follow him. The love Jesus was referring to was not eros, as in a sexual love, nor was it a filial, as in a friendship. But the love was one of the greatest love called agape, which is the greatest love. This is the highest and noble word for love. It is a word used to speak of the love of God. Jesus was saying to Simon, do you love me with all your heart? For I have a task I want you to do. I want you to feed my lamb. Lambs are baby sheep and must be watched closely and fed spiritually. Lambs follow sheep. The second interrogation, Jesus asked Peter the same question again. But this time, he said to Peter, tend my sheep. Shepherds are to discipline sheep. Now, I want you to hear what I'm saying here. When he said, tend my sheep, I said, shepherds are to discipline sheep. The late Dr. J. Vernon McGee said that we have it all wrong. In our day, we have this truth in reverse. We want to discipline the young. That is our method. And we feel as if we should teach the old folks. He is saying that this is not Jesus' method. We are to feed the lamb, and shepherds are disciplining the older sheep. The reason why is because the little lambs follow the sheep. Hence, the older sheep must be disciplined. You can't discipline lambs if you're not disciplining yourself. Maybe he's thinking that it's hard to teach old persons a new way of doing things. I believe that when an individual comes to Christ, they are lambs and must be taught. Therefore, lambs do not always refer to children, but to some adults as well. No matter how old you are, if you stepping out on faith and you coming to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you 50 or 60 or 70 years old, you are a lamb. The third interrogation, Jesus asked Peter the same question again. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, do you love me? Peter said to Jesus, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Jesus was looking at the heart of Peter, and Peter deep down inside knew what he had done, and he said to Jesus, you know everything. You are omniscient. Lord, I love you. Sometimes we can be hurt, and deep down inside, we regret what we have done, and we want the Lord to know that we love him enough, though we have sinned in the past. Everybody sitting here have sinned in the past. But it doesn't mean that we dwell in that past and we continue to dwell and practice sin. Once you decide to follow Jesus, you're supposed to put that old man aside. But I think sometimes we put it on the shelf and then we go and pull it back and want to dust it off and just one more time to live that glorious life that we thought was glorious. You are not fooling yourself. I heard a man said on the news today, he was saying, I think he was talking to Tiger Woods, and he asked the question, why do you believe a lie? That you listen to all this stuff? And he said, Tiger Woods replied, because I've been lying to myself. See, when you lie to yourself, you're not fooling anybody but yourself. Because you're definitely not fooling Jesus. People know you by the fruit that you bear. When you out there partying, you think don't nobody see you? Don't fool yourself. There is always somebody that sees you. The grass may look greener until you get there and discover that maybe you went on your own and the Lord did not send you. See, sometimes we look at things and we say, man, that looks good over there. I think I'm going to go and graze in that grass. And then you go and graze in that grass, and then you realize that that grass not as green as you thought it was. Peter grazed into the courtyard palace of the high priest to keep himself warm. The night Jesus was arrested to see what would happen to him, if Peter could take the night back, have you ever thought about that? Lord, if I can just take that back, I won't have to worry about that anymore. And Peter was just one, if I can just take that night back, I'm sure it would never, ever enter into that courtyard, and I wouldn't have to be going through and listening to what I'm listening to. It was there he lost his commission. He received it first in Mark 1, 16 through 18, and Luke 5, 1 through 11. This is the synopsis of the gospel. They practically say the same thing. And when Jesus called him into the apostleship, Jesus had directed him to let down their nets into the water. Yes. For he and his partners had fished all night and caught nothing. See, sometimes we can be out there ministering. Maybe that's not what Jesus called you to do. And you just throwing out hot air. They did as Jesus instructed them, and their nets were full and began to break. When they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. Sometimes we have to leave mother, father, sister, brother in order to follow Jesus. Sometimes you have to leave someone you truly love or desire for, but you have to leave them to follow Jesus. Now we see where Jesus fed them around a fire. After he told them to cast their nets to the right of the boat, you know that Jesus stands on the right side of God. That's where he sits as well. The boat they caught a school of fish, and their nets did not break. This time, Peter was given his commission back. See, sometimes when you do things, it's taken away from you, and sometimes you have to do something different to get it back. When Jesus calls you and tells you to follow me. Once Peter was affirmed and restored, see, a lot of times we have to be reaffirmed and restored. See, people that's been out of the church for years, a month, then they come back and you talk to people, oh, Antioch is my church. Oh, yeah, well, when the last time you been there? And they come back, think they going to leave off just where they left off. No, it doesn't work that way. You need to come back and be restored. You need to come back and rededicate your life and say, I'm back. I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. Not just come back and say, well, I'm back now. Let me see what I can stir up. I had to watch what I say. Once Peter was affirmed and restored, Jesus told Peter how he would die and said to him, follow me. Peter died on a cross under Nero. Peter looked around and see one of the disciples whom Jesus loved following them and asked Jesus, Lord, what about him? See, let me back up a little bit. When Peter died, Peter did not want to die the same as Jesus had died on the cross. Peter wanted to die upside down with his head down. And Peter was so concerned, and we got nosy people today. He asked Jesus, well, what about him? What about Minister James? What about Reverend Finister? Referring to John, Jesus said to him, If it is my will that he remains until I come, what is that to you? And sometimes when he said, just follow me. Sometimes Jesus is talking to us and telling us to follow him, but we so concerned about what's going on the other side. Instead of you thinking about what you're doing, just follow Jesus. Jesus tells Peter that he was going to die for him, and what John does is none of his business. If he lives until I return, that does not affect what you are to do. You just follow me. Why is that so hard for people to do? Just follow Jesus. If we all just follow Jesus, we would be so happy. We would stop and think before we open our mouths and try to put somebody down. Just pray and turn it over to the Lord. He will fix it. You are not exempt. None of us are exempt. We get like Peter, sticking our nose in other people's affairs. We say that we are concerned, but are we really? What is our hidden agenda? And what are we trying to prove? Just like God knew Peter's heart, he knows our heart. When we get wrapped up in looking at others, we lose focus and forget what Jesus has called us to do. That's why sometimes we end up in a mess, because we in everybody's business. Jesus said, follow me. As preachers, our first qualification is to love and live for Christ. Amen. It is the greatest inspiring force. We are held to a higher standard, and we all fall short.
That's right.
But we are still held to a higher standard. Right. But we do not dwell on our path. Amen. We must do what God is calling us to do. We can remember Peter and how Jesus told him to attend to his own business and follow him. If you follow Jesus, you don't have time to worry about what's going to happen to someone else in the ministry, because life is going to be tough enough. One of the deacons that used to be here said, this could be your problem. Too busy putting your nose in other people's affairs and not listening to Jesus. We want to try and outshine others and let people know that this is who I am.
Yes.
It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about following Jesus and doing what is pleasing in his sight. Everything that we do belongs to the Lord.
Yes.
This is not my pulpit. That's not your pew. That's not your program. Everything belongs to the Lord.
Say it.
I guarantee that people already know who you are, and Jesus knows your heart.
Right.
The life you live, your action says it all. You cannot live a double life for long. Eventually, it will be revealed. From the pulpit, the officers, the choir, the pews, to the ushers, Jesus said, follow me. Are you willing to forsake all and follow Jesus? That's what we need to do. Jesus gave Peter an opportunity to wipe out the memories of the threefold denials by a threefold declaration of love. It was love that brought Peter a task, shepherding the sheep and the lambs of Jesus' flock. When he gave his people special work to do, in the day of temptation and suffering for his sake, trials bring our love to the proof.
If you love Christ, you will go work for him. When you do this, your love will continue and increase. Love prepares us for the service of Christ. We prove that we love Jesus by loving others. Spouses prove that they love by being there for each other, respecting and giving and showing love. You might like someone, but when you like something, you eventually let it go. But when you love someone or something, you won't lose the love that you once had. You'll do whatever it takes to please that individual. We love and we look at love as one of the greatest privileges in the world. And it brings the greatest responsibility. What did love do for Peter? It brought him a cross. Love brought me eternal life. We can look backwards and consider what he has done. We know that he brought us from a mighty long way. We can look upward and consider what he is doing. Keeping our eyes on the prize. We can look forward and consider what he will do. He can make a way out of no way. You might be going through. Your household might be in a disarray. But don't give up. Keep the faith. God is trying to work with us and show us that there is a bright side somewhere. He can turn your sorrow into joy. He can calm the storm in your life. There are storms that are raging in our lives, but it's up to you to hold on when those storms come. For when those storms come, you need to learn to say, Jesus, call on the name of Jesus, for he will take you through those darkest hours. He can wipe the tears from your weeping eyes. His love is overflowing in my soul. When I think about the goodness of the Lord and how he brought me through, I don't know about you, but I can speak for myself that he's my all in all. His birth, his life, his death and resurrection said it all for me. Jesus paid the price. No man has demonstrated such greater love than one who laid down his life for his fellow brethren. Jesus went to the cross for me. He went to the cross for you. He did not stop there. He took the sins of the world upon his shoulders. He was crucified and buried, and early one Sunday morning, He got up with all power, all victory in his hand. He lives today in me. He lives today in you. There is victory in the mighty name of Jesus. He came all the way down from glory to tell the redemption story that we too will have eternal life. If you don't know Jesus and the pardon of your sins, it's time to say, yes, Lord. It's time to put a new lease on life. For Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed me. He can wash you, and he can wash you as white as snow. I serve a risen Savior, and he lives today. Won't you follow Jesus? Be like he said to his disciples. If you love me, if you truly love me, you will follow me. There may be someone here today. You've been struggling with all kind of problems. God knows your heart. He sees everything. He's omniscient. You can't hide from man. You can try, but God gives his servants discerning spirits as well. He directs our thoughts. You've probably been here and trying to decide, maybe I need a church home. Now is the time of salvation. Time is running short for us. Tomorrow is not promised. We need to get it right. As a child of God, it is our responsibility to make sure that you hear the word. And then whatever you do, if you still decide to walk down your own narrow path and live a life of sin, it is your fault. It won't be mine. For I stand bold and preach God's word. Let God smile on you today. Will there be one to give your life to the Lord?